I will begin reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 down to verse 21. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, O God in heaven, we want to praise thee and magnify your name, O God, tonight as we study thy word. I am so unworthy, O God, to stand behind this pulpit of the man of God. I am from the other side of the world, foreigners in this land, but thank God we are brothers in Christ. Most gracious God, we need thy presence be felt here tonight. The only reason we're here, O God, and gathered together is to glorify your name. I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to do that, O God. I pray that you empower me with thy Holy Spirit. May you speak through me, O God. I am nothing without thee. I can do anything, O Lord, without thy help. I pray, O dear Heavenly Father, that you just help us tonight. May you give us a clear mind and ready heart, O Lord, to listen to thy word. I pray, O dear Heavenly Father, that may we be a blessing tonight here, O God, in this church. They've been so good to us. They've been praying for us. They've been supporting us through the years. And we are so thankful, O God, for them. I pray that you open the windows of heaven and bless this church more abundantly. Thank you for Pastor Stike and his family, Brother Richard and his family. I pray, O dear Heavenly Father, that you bless every members of this church. And continue, O Lord, to use this church as a lighthouse in this community that will preach the gospel and reach more people for thy name's sake, O God. I pray, Lord, that you bless every minute that we will study thy word. For this, we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Filipinos are thankful to Americans because of 3 M's. First of all, we are thankful to Americans because of your missionary. Based on history, the first missionary that stepped in the islands of the Philippines are American missionary. That's why we are here today preaching the Word of God. Secondly, we are thankful to Americans because of your military. When Spaniards and Japanese invaded the Philippines for 100 years, the first country that sent military help is America. I remember clearly on my mind General Douglas MacArthur when he said, "I shall return." And he did. That's why we have independence today. We are thankful to Americans because of your missionary. We are thankful to Americans because of your military. Guess what is the third M? McDonald's. You can go to Philippines today and you will see McDonald's everywhere. Again, I will read verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." If we will read the Bible from Genesis to the New Testament, God gave a specific mission in every age, in every time of life. I remember Noah, when God commanded him to build the ark in the top of the mountain. Everybody was mocking him for doing that, and yet he obeyed the Lord. And not only that, he did it by himself with the help of his family. I can't imagine really how he did that, but the Bible says he did. I remember God when he called Moses from the burning bush and asked him to lead the nation Israel. He never did that. He was out in the wilderness and running from God or running from the Egyptian. And yet God called him to lead this great nation of Israel. And he did for 40 years. I remember the Lord commanded Samuel, the great prophet, to anoint David, the boy David, to be the king of Israel. That's a hard thing to do. You can anoint the general to be the king of Israel, you know. You can anoint the famous person in the land to be the king of Israel. But God commanded him to anoint the boy David to be the king of Israel. And then I remember Nehemiah. He was called by God to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. It was a great task, but he did with the help of the people and with God. Every time, in every situation, God called men to do something in this world. How about today? In every human being, in every Christian, there is something that God wants you to do today. I do believe that whatever career you have in life, if that is the will of God for you, it is important it is right. Whatever it is, if you're a doctor, you give medicine to people, you try to heal people, that work is important in the eyes of God. If you're a foolish man, you save one's life from a robbery, that was important in God's sight. If you're a fireman, if you're a soldier, you know, you fight for the freedom of the nation and save people's life, that was important in His sight. But you know what? The greatest mission God given to man, I do believe, is to keep people out of hell. If you're a doctor, your work is important. You heal people, you give medicine to people, but that person will still die. If you're a soldier, your job is important. You fight for freedom and you save people's lives, but that people will still die. If you're a policeman, you save one's life from a robbery, that person will still die. If you're a fireman, you went to a burning house and you saved the family, that whole family, that family will still die. But if you're a Christian and you tell someone that Jesus died for them and that person got saved, he will never die, the Bible says. He will have life and life more abundantly, the Bible said. The greatest mission God given to man is to keep people out of hell. And that was for every Christian in this world. Not only for the pastors, not only for the assistant pastors, not only for the missionaries, but every Christian in this world. I'm speaking with the true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak tonight for what others did for this mission. I guarantee you I will not keep you long because I'm a Filipino. If I'm an American, you better watch it. First of all, John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." First of all, God the Father gave His Son for the mission. He gave His Son, God the Father, in heaven. I do believe when I was in the Philippines in my high school, my teacher taught me about evolution. That many years ago, we were hanging on the tree, you know, and now we're sitting on the pew. But when I got saved and I read my Bible, the Bible said God created everything from nothing. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, isn't it? He said, "Let there be sun, moon, and stars," and He created everything by His word. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. He created everything. But you know what? There is one that God created that He used His hand. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground." It can say, "Let there be man," and there was man. God can do that. But the Bible says, the Lord God Almighty, the God of heaven, formed man. He formed us. He used his bare hands to create you and me. From what? From the dust of the ground. God can use stone to create you and me. God can use wood to create man. God can use even air to create us. But God Almighty used the dust of the ground. We can go to Walmart, Kmart, Ingles, Food Lion. What else you have here? I guarantee you, they don't sell dust there. You can go to the Philippines, we don't sell dust. You can go to Australia, they don't sell dust. Even in Africa. My friend, God Almighty created you and me from the dust of the ground. From the worthless thing in this world. Whatever education we attain in life, whatever riches we gain in life, whatever popularity we gain in the community, the Bible said, is still dust from the ground. We cannot boast to God for anything. We are created from the worthless thing in this world. When God Almighty formed us from the dust of the ground, still dust only has a form like a man. When God breathed into the nostrils of that dust, the Bible says, the dust became a living soul. Young people, let me tell you this. Our life is from the Lord. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's from Him. And you better use it for the Lord. There's a song that says, only one life, soon it will pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. You can gain the whole world. You can gain the popularity that you want in this world. But I want to tell you this, one of these days, you will stand empty in the front of the Almighty. And what will count is what you did for the Lord. The God Almighty who put the sun and the stars in the universe, the God Almighty who created everything from His Word, the God Almighty who formed the man from the dust of the ground, He gave His Son to keep you and me out of hell. We met a couple in New York just a few months ago. That American couple have 13 kids, preacher. And I asked the man, I said, brother, if someone tonight will knock at your door and said, we've been married for many years, we've been trying so hard to have a child, we use every resources we have, expend all the money in the bank that we have, we go to the best doctors in the universe, in this whole earth, and we can't have a child. Can you give one of your son to us? And that man looked at me and said, Brother Manny, remember this. I will not give my child to anyone. We have one child, his name is Kenneth, and I will not give him to anyone. I know you do too. My friend, God Almighty has His only begotten Son. He don't have two. He don't have three. He don't have four. He don't even have 13 kids. The Bible says His only begotten Son. The heaven is not yet there. The angels is not yet created. The earth is not yet formed. And you and I is not yet formed by God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is already there. And yet He gave His Son to keep us out of hell. The darkest part of my life is when I was away from my family. 3 months, remember that? And I will not do it again. God the Father was away from His Son for more than 30 years. It so much hurt me when I left my family back home for 3 months. I can imagine what's the hurt it brings when the Father gave His Son. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 20, it says, for the Father loveth the Son. I love my child. I will even give my life if I need to. I know you love your children, and you will even give your life to your children if they need to. God the Father loved His Son too, the Bible says. And yet He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, His precious Son, to keep you and me out of hell. Secondly, not only God the Father gave His Son, but God the Son gave His life. My friend, no one took His life. The Good Shepherd gave it His life, laid out His life for the sheep. No one took His life. Not the Roman soldiers that crucified Him on the cross. Not the Jewish nation that cried, "Crucified Him, crucified Him." Not Pilate, the governor who gave Jesus to the Jews, took His life. Not the Roman Emperor Caesar took His life. You know what? Not even the nail of the cross took His life. He gave His life. He laid down His life for you and for me on that cross. That precious blood, that sinless blood, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross. When He shed His blood, He gave His life. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. That precious blood was shed on the cross for you and for me. I heard a song one time, it says, "When He was on the cross, I was on His mind." Have you heard that? When I think of that, it almost blew my mind. That my Creator and my Savior was hanging on the cross, suffering all the torments that we could imagine. He's hanging there, and your face and your name is flashing on His mind. I'm doing this just for Him. My friend, He gave His life. He gave His life. On that Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed to the Father, and His sweat become blood, the Bible says, He can escape the way of the cross and go back to heaven that night and enjoy the presence of the angels and sit on the right hand of God. He is still God. And yet He chose the way of the cross. He says, "Father, Thy will be done." He knows exactly what will happen that night. He knows exactly what will happen the next day. He never experienced death in His life. But my friend, the death of the cross never gave Him to die for you and for me, so that we could have everlasting life. When the Father gave His Son, when the Son gave His life, my question for you tonight, what will you do to keep people out of hell? There's a verse that says in Matthew chapter 9, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest," in verse 38, "that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." My friend, the first thing we must do is pray. Pray for more laborers. We are living on the last harvest time. We are living on the last days. This is the end time. This is the day of grace that the Bible is speaking about. And after this, the rapture and tribulation. My friend, when is the last time we shed tears for someone that is lost? When is the last time we made a phone call and tell them that Jesus died for them? When is the last time we go to our neighbor and handed them a gospel tract and said that Jesus loved them and He died for them? When is the last time we pray that God will call us, even us, to the mission field? My friend, we must pray, the Bible says. I'm a missionary to the Philippines. Brother Waters is missionary to Australia. Brother Doug is missionary to Minnesota. Each and every one of you are missionaries here in Andersonville. A preacher said it this way: if you can preach like Peter, or you can pray like Paul, but you can tell the love of Jesus and says he died for all. My friend, if you got saved, you have the message. You don't have to go to training in the Bible school. You don't have to go to seminary. If you got saved, you have the message. The only thing you must do is tell someone that Jesus died for them. What happened to you can happen to others. If you're saved and I'm saved, God can save anyone else. And then we can help missionaries around the world. What will you do to keep people out of hell?